Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me, two of my favorites, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi,
and
Steve.
Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi there. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
We're doing well. How about you?
Doing all right. These guys are in Laguna. I'm in Indianapolis, but I'm coming to Laguna. You know, you hear that expression, you ought to have your head examined. I'm actually going to have a brain spec done to see what kind of attention deficit disorder I actually have. And after all these years, is there something maybe I could do better to try to eliminate some of the downside? I think the three accidents in the car, that kind of put my wife over the edge, and she thought maybe we ought to do something else
now,
about this.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear about your three accidents.
Well, Henry,
they were low impact.
They were coming out of the garage.
So like high impact on her.
Yeah, high impact on her.
All
coming
right, so
out of the garage.
Now, I want you to share this because I think there are a lot of people out there that probably can relate to this.
Well, I just got a little distracted, and I hit one side in the front, and then a couple of days later, I hit the other side in the back, and then I hit the front on the other side. And about $7,500 later, she thought maybe a brain scan by Dr. Amen might be cheaper than getting that left back bumper hit.
And, when was this?
And, this was last month. Yeah, it was last month. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now I have a question. When my father used to do this,
yeah,
a lot. In fact, we finally just got rid of the garage because he was taking it out. Seriously, it was one of those separate garages, like from the house. And since he was eliminating it piece by piece, we just decided one day to mow the whole thing down. But when you're actually in the moment, like what happens?
Oh, in the moment,
are you
thinking,
texting and backing?
No, you're thinking about something like that happened yesterday, and you think I've got to do that thing, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I didn't quite go 4 feet far enough back before I started to turn the steering wheel, and as the mirror breaks into 1,000 pieces, and you think, oh, maybe it wasn't quite that bad. You look, you've got $3,000 worth of damage done just from scraping. It's a scrape damage.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, got it all fixed and everything. So now I'm going to try to fix the brain that was responsible
for driving. But that's good, because I think when there's a pattern, you have to ask, what does it mean, right? And it could mean a lot of things.
But it wasn't like you were eating a cheeseburger or texting or looking for something.
Right.
Or
that's
what's so interesting to me. Is I got so many traffic tickets. I was sent a letter by the Highway Patrol of California saying that I was one of the worst drivers, that I was one of the people responsible for more accidents and deaths than anybody else. And the problem is, if I'm kind of going a little over the speed limit, I'm focused. But when I'm driving the speed limit, I make mistakes because I'm so bored because everybody else is rushing.
And I'm sure the judge just loved that answer.
Yes,
right?
Really.
He just like said, didn't he just love it?
You know, it sounded like he had heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't seem to matter much.
I might not use that one.
All right, we're going to take a break. Going to come back to your phones here on a Friday. Every Man's Battle starting today. We're excited about that. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are so back, and so many great Christmas presents and stocking stuffers like New Life Every Day 365-Day Devotional, Just Us 100 Days of Prayer Every Day for Every Man. We've got fiction. We've got so many things that you can get at newlife.com, and we hope that you'll go there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. A lot of really, really great resources there that, you know, literally could change your life or the life of somebody that you love. Let's go to Teresa from Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hi there.
Hello.
You are on with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud, and I hope you have a question for one of those two.
Yeah. I called a couple weeks ago, and I talked to you all, and you sent me a book called Boundaries, and I read the whole book.
Good.
I was having trouble kind of finding myself because my ex-husband is still controlling me, even though we're not married anymore, you know.
Yeah.
I'm fearful of him and everything.
Right.
Okay, I've read the entire book, and I know I'm still very fearful. I mean, I saw him yesterday, and I had all these ideas in my head that I was going to confront him on a few things, and I backed down. And I just kind of stood there and, you know, just kind of put on a little happy little face and, you know, just casual conversation. I can't get to the first step.
Okay.
What are we talking about, Teresa? Like, what kind of issue were you going to talk to him about?
Well, that he owes me money, and he's owed me money for about 6 months, and I've just kind of let it go and let it go and let it go.
Okay, so that's kind of a big topic, and do you anticipate what his reaction might be?
I know what his reaction would be.
That's
the reason I haven't.
Well, that's what I mean. What would his reaction be, your ex-husband?
He would start yelling and screaming and,
okay,
and scare me again.
Well, okay, so
can you know that how? Based on past experience, or did he say, if you ever call me again, I'll yell and scream at you?
No. He's done this in the past.
So you've experienced it with him?
Yes.
Okay.
Many times.
So you're walking into a same situation, wanting to talk and set a boundary with him, knowing that he's going to yell and scream at you.
Right.
So it makes sense that you go back into your same role. Because even though you're kind of armed with this stuff and you know it's right, the emotional part of you, the part that got beaten down by him, reacts and acquiesces to protect yourself.
Right.
Right? Sometimes we have to find a new way to communicate that feels safer. Because if you go back into a place where you feel that unsafe, it's going to be hard for you to have a voice and to stand up to that. And besides, who wants to be yelled and screamed at?
Really?
Well, right? I mean, he would never hit me or anything like that.
Okay.
The verbal abuse scarred me so bad that I can't stand up to him.
Okay. Part of standing up to him is to not allow the abuse, not to put yourself in a position to receive that.
What does stand up to him mean?
Well, I just feel like I've been walked on all these, and I mean I've been walked on all these years, and I've done everything he said, you know, when it came to the kids or anything, and I mean I've been very agreeable just to keep peace.
Right.
And
so what does stand up to him mean?
I want to be able to tell him how I feel and how I, and I don't want to have to agree with him all the time.
Why do you have to agree with him?
Because of the kids.
What do you mean?
Because he's taken me to court quite a few times since the divorce, and he's basically won every battle. I've never won a battle. He's gotten, you know, more visitation and all this, and every battle I've ever had with him, I've lost. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's a lost cause. I'm never going to be able to stand up to him and say, hey, I don't agree with this, and you know, hey, don't yell at me and things like that. I mean,
one of those you have control over. Okay, you can say I don't agree with this. I mean, there's nothing he can do about that except not like it, right?
And yell.
Well, he can.
Stop.
I'm trying to. I really want you to see this. Okay. There's nothing he can do about the fact that you disagree with him. Yelling doesn't do anything about that. It still remains. You disagree with him. You see the difference?
Yeah, but there's a lot on the line, too.
I'm not talking about that yet. What I'm trying, there, you'll never be able to deal with anything that's on the line if you don't get real, if you don't realize what you have control over and what you don't. And what you have control over is everything on your side of the line. Okay? You disagree with him. All right? Do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you also have control on your side of the line how you are going to deal with somebody who, when you tell them that you disagree with them, they don't receive it well and do a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you have control of that decision. Now, what you're telling us is that you have decided from your side of the line, I disagree with him. He can't control my thoughts. I will never change my thought on that I disagree with some things. Okay. I am also aware inside of me that my experience and track record with him has been that it won't help to tell him that, right?
Right.
Okay. So I also have control of figuring out what my other options are.
Can I interject something here?
Sure.
Okay. So, Teresa, at that point, I want you to think about, you mentioned that you feel like a five-year-old around him. It seems to me that you are seeking his permission, almost, to disagree with him.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's on your, the fact that he screams, that there's nothing he can do about the fact that you disagree with him. Nothing.
But he's never going to agree with you. You're never going to convince him. So that cannot be your goal. See, it's not if you convince him, oh good, then you've been validated and then you're right. You're right.
Period.
Apart from his validation. Because he's not your judge.
It's almost like you have to allow him to be entitled to his wrong opinion.
Mm-hmm. That yes, that's another way to say it.
You don't believe that every opinion he has any weight, measure, worth, value. He's entitled to say things that idiots say in the face of reality. Could you see it that way?
Yeah.
And the dynamic of him yelling and screaming at you gets you to back down.
Right.
And keeps you under control.
Well, not just that. It's every time he does yell and scream at me, he threatens to take my kids away. And
yeah, he's really cruel,
battle.
Isn't
I've
he?
I've won that battle over the years, too. So
yeah, so
that's what's on the line right now.
You have,
right.
You have an attorney?
So yeah.
What does that mean?
So means he's not very good, and that's how I lost another day of visitation with my kid. Because she wasn't very good.
Well, maybe all of this energy that we're talking about ought to be directed toward finding an attorney that can help you.
Or even, Teresa, having somebody in your corner that can help maybe, like, go with you to the attorney, help you to talk about what it is you're wanting and needing.
Well, that's a good point. This is a very honest program. I know how honest you all are with everybody, and I want to be real honest with you. I'm not in a position to go through another court battle. I've already went through five.
Okay.
I'm not in a financial
position
to do that.
Okay.
It's traumatic.
I don't have a support group. I don't have a church. My church kind of...
Okay, so...
I don't have them anymore.
Teresa, right. That's where you got to start.
Yeah, that...
You got to get your support network up before you can
fight. The support network's the most important thing first, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've told...
I mean, I'm all alone. I need a support group, but I don't know where to get them at.
Okay, well why don't you do this? We're going to let somebody talk to you off the air who can direct you, hopefully, to some places in your area. And I just want to give you a couple of thoughts to take with you. You know, when I was asking you about to draw that line between what's on your side of the boundary and what's on his, on your side is what Jill was saying, that nothing he does can change the fact that you have certain values and certain opinions and you know, that's what you think. And he's not going to control that out of you unless you don't draw that boundary between what you think and what he thinks and realize those are going to be his thoughts and he's going to do that and he's going to act the way he's going to act and he's going to be who he is and all that kind of stuff, regardless of what you do. That's going to help you get in touch with yourself. Now, the other part of this, though, is that he's got power to start really screwing up your head if you don't have some weighting on your side of that scale. And that's what Joe was talking about. The most important thing is to get the other people on your team in there, and they can help you to stay sane. The Bible says that we need courage. Where does it come from? We have to be encouraged. It's got to be put into us from the outside. You've got to be held up and supported and all this stuff that the scripture says. And right now, he has too much weight.
Right.
And your head gets, you know, discombobulated.
Well, the number one place to hurt a mother is with her kids, right? And so when he threatens that, he immobilizes you, Teresa.
Yeah,
so that's why you need other people that won't feel traumatized by what he's doing. And they can help you to, like Henry said, stay sane in the midst of something that's very, very challenging.
Okay, let me send you a copy of Henry's book, Changes That Heal. I hope that's going to be a blessing to you there. And I'm really glad that you called. You know, sometimes you just have to stop listening to some of the people that you've been listening to. And when you do, you get a whole new perspective on things. And many times we give up looking for the next resource right when we're about to find the one that really could change things.
Well, Steve, I just wanted to add, especially we should stop listening to someone whose whole goal is to unnerve us and to have their way.
To not listen. Yeah. And,
yeah. So those are not people to listen to.
And, Steve, you know the Bible is so clear about this. If you go to Proverbs, it says that, there's a couple of different kinds of people you can be talking to. One of them is the group called the wise people, and they will listen. And they will love you for actually correcting them. And they will thank you and say, gosh, I didn't know I was doing that. Thank you for it, you know. And then there's this other group called the fool or the mocker. And they will cast insults upon you. They will attack you. They will hate you for confronting them. And the Bible's very clear. It says, do not confront a mocker, lest you incur insults upon yourself. And so from there, it gives us other clear direction about getting, you know, help. And so we don't just think that, you know, we can go confront somebody and it's necessarily going to have a good outcome. In fact, that's sometimes with some people the last thing you should do.
That's right. All right. I hope that that is helpful to you. That's a very interesting call with a lot of dynamics a lot of us need to understand. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and I hope you're enjoying this classic program from the New Life Live archives. I want to take just a minute to remind you that if you're struggling with food, depression, anxiety, relationships, or something else, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. If you want a life recovery meeting, we can help you with that, or if it's a small group at home or at church, or maybe you just want to hear a little bit more, we can help you with that too. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward, and she can get you started. Also, if you're ordering things on Amazon this Christmas season, you can really help New Life out by using smile.amazon.com and choosing New Life Ministries as your charity of choice. We're the one in Lake Forest, California. It doesn't cost you any more, and you contribute to helping us reach hurting people. And finally, I want to remind you about Covenant Eyes. That's our partner in an internet filter for your computer. But it's more than just an internet filter. It's also an accountability tool that sends reports of your online activity on tablets, smartphones, and computers to individuals that you choose. You'll get your first 30 days free when you use the code NLM. Look for the Covenant Eyes link on the newlife.com website to get you started. Now let's get back to this classic program from the New Life Archives.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Tammy calling from Baltimore. She listens or watches us on the NRB network. Hello, Tammy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
How can we help?
Me?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I was renting a room to a lady, and the lady got this new guy in her life.
You were what? What with the lady? We couldn't understand you.
Okay. I was renting a room out of my house to this lady.
Oh, renting a room.
Okay. Renting a room.
Got it.
Okay.
All right.
Can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speak right up.
Let me get y'all off speaker.
That might help.
That's a really good idea.
Thank you.
Okay. Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Try again.
Yes, I was renting a room out of my house to this lady, and she got a new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Philadelphia, and the boyfriend started texting me. I didn't know who it was, though, because he was just saying, hey, I hope we can hook up. You out of town when you come back. And I'm like, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? And then when I found out who it was, I told him, look, do not text me anymore. So one day when I was in Philadelphia, he texted me a picture of his private part.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, and I texted him and said, you's a sick pervert. So after I texted him, called him a sick pervert, I was like, I'm going to go to the police station when I get back to Baltimore. I said, I'm going to the police station to see what can they do about it.
What'd they say?
So I didn't go yet. I'm going tomorrow. But because I found out this, because I was like, he may do this to somebody else. So one of my other tenants that live in my building, he called me and he said, Caroline, you know what? Because the program he works at, the guy lives there. So he calls me up and he said, the girl want to talk to me that lives in that works at the program, because he did the same thing to her. So when she called me, she was like, yeah, he sent me these obscene,
self-portraits.
Nasty
yeah.
stuff. There's a lot yeah. of nasty stuff.
Yeah.
However, this is my thing. So me and her is going to the police station tomorrow, both of us. Now, I was asking her, should we tell the girl?
And wouldn't
yeah,
you
I was
want
thinking,
to
I said,
know?
You know, give her heads up because she don't know who she got. He is really, really sick.
Yeah. Right.
And
so
Wouldn't you want to know?
I would love to know because that's what I was telling everybody. I told my mom and I told my sister, and everybody was like, "No, you need to just stay out of it." I said, "I would want somebody to tell me if it was me, and if she don't do anything, that'd be on her. At least she can't say warning."
Right. Mm-hmm. No, you're doing the right thing. I'm proud of you. I think you need to tell her.
And Tammy, the other thing that I would do, just to caution you, is you might want to talk to them today. Now, this might be nothing, but there are dangerous people out there that do impulsive stuff. And so when you said you were going to talk to the police, for all you know, there's a big file on this guy. And he's hurt people, for all you know, maybe not. But, you know, if you go, when you tell the girlfriend, I think you need to warn her that, you know, you don't know what you're dealing with yet. So just be careful is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that is a very, very wise thing to do. All right, I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of the book, Walking Into Walls, talking about overcoming resistance. I think it's going to be of help to you, and you can pass that along to your friend who also received some self-portraits that were more self than portrait. Well, let me just talk for a second about some of the things we've got going up before we go to this break here. You know, I love doing the Emotional Freedom Workshop with Chris Williams. Why? Because a lot of people really have found some hope and help and insight that they didn't have. You know, life makes sense. And if we can help you make sense of some of the struggle that you're going through, it really is the beginning of being free from whatever. And I'll just say this, you know, it's kind of shocking to some folks, but motivation to change is the least effective predictor of change happening. You can be really motivated, but if you're not willing to turn that motivation into action, it's worthless. And it doesn't take much to be online for one day on January the 22nd for our Emotional Freedom Workshop. Love to have you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE to tell you about that. And then if your marriage is good and needs to be better, or it's horrible and needs to get good, we have Intimacy in Marriage, February the 11th, 12th, and 13th. What a great Valentine a lot of people are going to have. That maybe, you know, if you hate each other and you go to something that helps you communicate better, to tell each other better how to hate each other, well, what good does that do? We're going to help you transform your relationship. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, Intimacy in Marriage, February the 11th.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, you know, go to iTunes and subscribe to our iPods, getting our iPod sent to you every single day. You get a subscription. It's pretty easy. It's a great thing. Also, want to mention... Yes, sir. Yeah.
You mean a podcast?
Yeah, what did I say? iPod?
I don't think we're sending iPods to everybody.
No. You know what?
It's Christmas, but, you know.
Yeah. I ran not. Into some money, and I'm going to give everybody an iPod. That's right. It's a podcast. You just sign up, and they send you the podcast of the program. Thank you, Henry, for listening to what I say. That is
true. Steve, I cling to every word. Never miss one.
That is funny. All right, let's go to... how about right now we go over here to, Susan from Chicago, Illinois, WYLL is the station. Hi, Susan. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. I am a survivor of childhood sexual trauma and abandonment, and I married a wonderful man. We've been married for 28 years now.
Okay.
And his alcoholism has just progressed over the years. And I finally got into recovery and set some boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And have been living separate now for about 2 years. and I feel like I'm stuck. I'm still working really hard on my recovery. He has no desire whatsoever to change, to quit drinking. It is who he is. It's his life. And I feel like something is keeping me from moving on.
Okay, and so the question for us is what?
The question is, why am I content to be where I am? Mm-hmm. With no thought of, I'd like to, yes, I would like to reconcile the marriage. If he were to get into, a recovery for a significant amount of time.
Susan, what does he say when you say, okay, if you're going to continue drinking, I can't live with you? What does he say?
He says there's something wrong with me. That who's telling you this? Who's telling you
okay,
this?
Okay, and when
something
you,
wrong
when,
with you.
When you say, well, I went to Al-Anon or I went to a drug counselor or something, and the experts are telling me that when you get drunk and you pass out and you don't show up and you say mean things to me and all this kind of stuff, that's not healthy.
And he just won't look at it. If there's something wrong with me.
Okay,
I'm
so
being brainwashed or...
So does he not care? I mean, does he say, okay, I'm fine living apart. I'm fine not seeing you.
Pretty much. That's pretty much it.
So you haven't heard from him in a year?
No, we have children, and he'll, spend time with the kids, and he comes and the kids live with me, and he comes and sees the kids or makes arrangements to spend time with them.
Mm. So he's being a good dad in the midst of this?
Yeah. And he still provides for us.
Yeah, you started out saying that you had a wonderful husband, and then went into the drinking part. So it was
the non-responsive.
Yeah, so
part,
it was a little
confusing.
How does
a wonderful husband and non-responsive to my needs go together?
And attacking,
blaming
and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, and I will. I have to say it was my behavior in our marriage that never said it wasn't okay to begin with. I may have spoke up, from time to time when he didn't come home, he went out drinking and didn't come home. But I never had a strong boundary then. And so now in the last, 3-4 years, I've started to put up strong boundaries and maintain them. And now I'm crazy. I'm just not the person that he married.
But it doesn't bother him.
Pardon me?
Being apart doesn't bother him.
Not enough to do anything.
Well, hold on a second. What do you mean not enough? Give me the enough that it does. What do you hear from him? Do you hear, I want to get back together?
No, I don't hear that.
Okay, do you hear, I want to see you?
No.
Like, is he just wanting you to forget the whole thing and just go back to normal?
Yeah, that's just it.
He does want to come back and go back to normal?
Like, people are putting these ideas in your head. Just
go back to the way it was with no boundaries.
Okay, so it does bother
him.
It does bother him.
Mm-hmm. And he's right. You're not the person he married, according to what you're saying.
But Susan, here's where I'm struggling. You're kind of saying two different things. You're saying, oh, it doesn't matter to him. He just blames me, and he can live apart and not have me and this, that, and the other, and it doesn't affect him whatsoever. And then you say he wants to get back together and go back to the way it was. Right?
Well,
I mean, did I dream that up, or is that not what you told me?
I guess... Yes, that is correct. He would like to go back. He would like to be back together the way it was, but without any change in his drinking.
Okay, so how does he tell you that?
By trying to just, to working on the boundaries and, trying to...
I don't know what that means.
What do you mean?
What does he say?
he really doesn't say anything.
Well, he's got to say something for you to tell us that he wants to come back.
I guess I'm just thinking that because when he does come to see the kids, he does.
What does he do? When he comes to see the kids, what does he do? Does he try to be loving with you?
Yes.
Are you being loving back towards him?
I'm being kind. I'm not being loving as far, as just being like I would to a friend.
Okay, has there ever been more than that since he's been thrown out? Is there any sex or any romance or any moments of
none.
Goodness or anything?
No.
Okay, so but he is telling you in some way, I want to come back.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you why I'm asking this. Because when you first called, you were talking about, it sounded like you were talking about somebody that was totally disengaged, totally detached, had no longing,
right.
Had no yearning,
yep.
Had nothing invested in the relationship whatsoever. Okay? But that's not the case here.
No. He just doesn't express it and uses his drinking to deal with it.
And so what I would suggest you do is I would suggest you sit down with a very experienced alcohol counselor. Because what you've got here in this man is you have leverage.
Okay.
And you're not using that leverage well because he's using the leverage that he has with you to keep you from using the leverage that you have with him. That's the codependency. And
okay.
I think he has an incredible ability to get you off task and off-centered. And so what I think you need to do is to be kind to him and do the co-parenting thing and not talk about this drinking or getting back together or plan or no plan until you've talked with somebody who's very experienced, because this man has some dependency on you and some longing and some attachment, and you need a good strategy, which might include other people that have similar leverage over him, and you might have a way to do something good. But I think
okay.
you need help.
Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about WFD. I think you have a bad case of WFD. Many people have WFD. It's not contagious, but it is fixable, and it's called wise friend deficit. You need to have a friend who is wiser than you, who has been through this before, who you can talk to and gather your thoughts and help you understand what you're trying to say and give you some good advice because they've been through it. And we find those people at Al-Anon, at life recovery meetings, support groups, Bible studies. You need to get connected to some women because you have WFD, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Now, anything else you guys want to add to this? Because,
Susan, I'm kind of encouraged in some ways,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to give you false hope, but when you first called, it sounded like one of those things where you've done everything possible. You've done everything that if anything's going to work, that would work. And all of that. And here's a guy that just doesn't care. And it doesn't sound like that to
mm-hmm.
me. And so I think you need some really, really good coaching to, no matter what he's going to end up doing, I think you have more leverage than you've been aware of.
And he just doesn't know what to do, it sounds
right.
like. So he just keeps doing the same because it seems too difficult. So
that's right.
If someone were to show him, he might just budge.
We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Kent. From Chicago, Illinois, WYLL. Hello, Kent. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
My question is whether or not I should marry my fiance without my 14-year-old son's blessing.
Why doesn't your 14-year-old want you to marry her?
For many different reasons. One, is kind of influenced by his by his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship didn't start out very well in terms of, you know, my fiance, we have twin boys that are three. And so that sort of, it did start out
you
okay.
And you and your fiance have twin boys and you're not married? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
And so you're living together with twin boys, and your 14-year-old is living with mom?
My 14-year-old lives with mom, and no, we are currently not living together. She lives out of, and you know, and I'm here in Illinois.
Okay. So you want to know if it's okay to get married without the blessing of your 14-year-old?
Yes.
And you're living, who are you living with?
I'm sorry?
Who are you living with?
No one. I live on my own.
Well, and where are the three-year-olds?
They're in another state with their mom.
The three-year-olds with the fiance?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we did live together, but there was too much stress, and there was a lot going on, and my fiance decided that she would move back to...
What does that mean, a lot?
Yeah, because what's
on?
Going to change, yeah, if you get married?
What's different?
Well, what I mean by that is all the turmoil between... There's a lot... There was one of the reasons she left is because my 14-year-old threatened the, at that time, one-year-old. Boys, so that was one part of the reason she left. Another part of the reason is the dysfunctional relationship between my ex-wife and myself.
I'm gonna give you a suggestion
that is out of my control.
Let me give you a very I don't know what, maybe Jill and Henry will say, Steve, that's the stupidest thing you ever said. I don't think you should marry her. I think you ought to wait till he is in college and then marry her then. And then along the way some things might happen, and there might be an opportunity to marry her sooner. But there are a lot of weird things here, a lot of weird pieces. And marriage, second marriages, so often fall apart, 65%. Doesn't seem like to me this is a very good way to put together a marriage. But that's
okay.
My thought.
Okay, so here's a thought I have. You know, at like 13, 14, this is an age where a boy, because your 14-year-old's a boy, right?
You did, correct.
Okay,
they're,
you said that. Yes, son.
Boy.
Okay. So, you know, a son needs to identify with his dad. They start kind of moving away from mom some, still maybe protective of mom, but wants to connect and identify with dad, right? But dad has been preoccupied with this other woman and these other kids. Introduce you getting married, and no matter what the age, a kid, when their parent remarries, goes through a mourning, because that's their last hope that maybe their parents will get back together. I mean, their last hope is dashed, in other words. Even if it seems so far out of the question, like why would they even think that? A lot of kids still have the fantasy that they'll get their family back, their dad back, the attention back. And you getting married blows that apart. So you're probably not going to get his blessing, but it sounds like you need to spend some time really connecting with him first before you venture down getting married. Like, he needs to feel like you're really there,
okay,
because he was there before they were.
Henry, any thought?
Well, can't, you know, marriage is, in the best cases, you know, got its bumps, right? I mean, it's marriage, in the very best cases, goes through hard times. So it's got to be strong. In fact, in the Bible, what you would see about that first year of marriage is that it was so important in, you know, in the Mosaic law, that they wouldn't even let anybody go off to war in the first year. of marriage. Right. Because that first year of marriage was about making that bond so secure and so tight and all of that. And I'm concerned about you going into a marriage in chaos. It's almost like a drive-by marriage.
Fixed.
Kind of like, yeah, it's like there's too much. You guys aren't even living in the same state. Now, I'm also concerned about these twins not having their dad in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to work out here. But I would want for you to look at building some stability and some framework around this thing that is able to contain the chaos that ultimately, you know, that will cause or encounter or whatever. And I don't hear the framework being built, the support, the community, the structure, the extended family, all of the factors that are going to sort of like if you have a broken leg. You know, the Bible says make firm, what's that verse in Hebrews? What is the verse I'm trying to think about? Make firm steps for your feet or something like that.
Make a firm foundation.
A solid path.
A solid path. There you
okay.
go. Make a solid path for your feet so that the limb that is injured will be healed instead of further put out a joint. And I'd like for you to get some solid ground somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but get some solid ground.
Yep. Okay. You know, sometimes what we have to do as we intersect reality like this is we have to say, you know, it just doesn't seem like enough elements are in place
for us
to even make the best decision or an assessment of it.
Or even the next step of a best decision.
Yeah. Well, right.
And there needs to be some new elements.
Yeah, it seems like at the very least, working on relationship with son, realizing you're always going to have a relationship with the ex-wife, so you've got to find a way to make that work to a degree, and then having the fiance and the twins at least in the same state seems like those things would be a starter while you're getting support.
And you know what I'd do if I was him? I would try to find the best counselor I could find. You know, I'm mentally ill myself, and if it wasn't for having some of the best therapists around, I'd stutter when I was on radio. So I want to encourage you to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get a great counselor. It is amazing how you think you got it all figured out. I have a counselor that just like last week I was there. I thought I had this one issue all figured out. And just, you know, I could have called her a business consultant. I could have called her an advisor, or I could have called her a therapist, but she just helped me sort it out. We have 1,000 of those around the country. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To do that, it takes a lot of support, and to keep people on the radio like Henry and Jill that we are so grateful to have on radio, help us, support us, so we can be doing this 10 years, 20 years from now. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.